I'm Jude Vase.
And I'm Steph Midlock.
Welcome to Athrobeth, a podcast exploring yet more horsey nonsense in Tolkien's Legendarium.
You might say nay, but we're like, whoa, man, it's going to be cool.
Jesus.
Jude, do we have any corrections that we need to call the sack on today?
One correction. In the episode 10 sources, I left out one source, which Steph is going to have to pronounce for me because I'm not so hot on the old English.
I'm going to try. I believe that it's called Huar Quam Mira, The Horse in Anglo-Saxon England by Sarah Larrett Kiefer, printed in the Journal of Medieval History. So sorry, Sarah.
Yeah, apologies to Sarah. I'm going to go back and add that to the sources for episode 11, and it will be in the sources for episode 10, and it will be in the sources for episode 11 as well.
Thank you, Jude. That's great. Woohoo!
Yeah. So this episode is a continuation of last month's episode. There's more horsing around this episode.
Oh my God, he did it! He did a horse pun! I'm so happy!
We left off last month talking about the Maras in general, sort of what they were, where the term came from, and so forth. And we pick up this month talking about the specific Maras, and that's where we dive straight in.
For some reason, I thought we would drive straight into the baddies.
No, that comes after the Maras, but we have a section where we talk about Snowmane and Shadowfax and
all those boys,
all those good fellas.
Yeah, good fellas. That's cute. Okay, nice. Well, we've got many paths to tread, so let's begin.
So let's talk about some of these Maras. Let's start with...
Probably our most famous Maras would be our buddy Shadowfax.
Yeah.
I feel like there is a lot you can say about Shadowfax, and we didn't... And I feel like I know already from previous conversations with you, Jude, that you have certain thoughts about Shadowfax that I would like you to share. And then I shall give you the rebuttal. So please, can you tell us a little bit more about this mighty horse boy?
Shadowfax is one of the Maras, is in fact the chief of the Maras. I mean, I don't know if he's an elected
representative. An elected official?
or if they use some sort of constitutional monarchy, or if
maybe,
he's a tyrant.
Maybe he had a cult following? A cult following? No.
Sorry. A cult following.
Yeah, cult following.
But Shadowfax is their chief, noted for his speed like an arrow. In Two Towers, Chapter 5, Gandalf says, That is Shadowfax. He is the chief of the Maras, lords of horses, and not even Theoden, king of Rohan, has ever looked on a better. Does he not shine like silver and run as smoothly as a swift stream? He has come for me, the horse of the White Rider. We are going to battle together.
Oh, I love that. It's nice. Yeah. He's like, that's my buddy. Here he comes.
Yeah, and then Theoden gets butthurt that Gandalf gets Shadowfax and not Theoden. I honestly don't remember what my beef was with Shadowfax the last time we talked about this.
No, I'm going to remind you because I'm mad. You told he's making a face at me and I can tell the webcam. But Jude, you told me that you think Shadowfax is a little bit snobby. Right? Didn't you tell me that?
Oh, that's right. He is a little bit snobby.
He is not snobby. He is regal and resplendent because he's... He's amazing. He knows. He's hot shit, you know?
I think all the Maras are a little bit snobby if they won't let anyone but a king ride on them.
Well, they're just like, I'm not going to get out of bed for anybody less than a king. And personally, as a lady in her 30s, just trying to get by, I'm with them. Okay?
Okay, so I have a mathematics question for you then.
What? Don't ask me
okay.
mathematics.
No, okay, so... So if the Maris will only let a king of Rohan ride them, so a king.
Mm-hmm.
And if Gandalf is a Maiar, is a Maiar divided by a hobbit a king?
You're saying that because, of course, we know that a little boy named Pippin also rode on that horse. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, brother.
I'm saying is that the math that Shadowfax is doing? Is that somehow a Maiar is sufficiently elevated that even with the burden of Pippin on his butt, that he doesn't doesn't bring him down below the level of king?
I think he's just like, don't tell anyone. Don't pass this around that I'm doing this, okay? He's like, I know I'm slumming it, but it's also the end of the world, so we just got to deal with it, you know?
Fair enough.
I think Shadowfax is, brother, he's probably pretty embarrassed.
Not my favorite. I actually prefer Snowmane for my money when it comes to Maris in the Lord of the Rings.
That's a good transition. Do you want to talk about our buddy Snowmane?
Yeah, Snowmane is the steed of Theoden, king of Rohan. Theoden rode him to the Battle of Pelennor Fields. He was killed when he was struck with a black dart by the Witch King and fell on the king, wounding him.
Yeah, that sucks.
Snowmane is therefore referred to both as Theoden's Bane and Master's Bane, and was buried where he fell.
Mm-hmm.
Later, after the battle, on the site where he died, there is a stone erected in the grass known as Snowmane's How, where the grass grew the most green ever after, with an inscription that reads, "Faithful servant, yet master's bane, Lightfoot's foal, swift Snowmane."
Oh, buddy.
Yeah. Lightfoot apparently is another of the Maris. He's the other named horse that we're going to mention here, but that's all we need to say about him.
Yeah.
He's one of the Maris.
And Snowmane's pops.
Snowmane's pops. Snowmane apparently wanted to go with Shadowfax when the company split after talking with Saruman at Isengard. And Theoden and the bros had to go to Helm's Deep, and Gandalf went on an errand. And Snowmane was like, I want to go with Shadowfax, apparently.
Yeah, he was like crying and like, come on, let me go. I just got to be with my buddy Shadowfax. But they were like, nope, come on, buddy. I mean, I think I didn't write this quote down, which is a bummer, but I believe in, you know, it's addressed in The Lord of the Rings that Theoden sort of grudgingly let Gandalf kind of have Shadowfax. I mean, no one has Shadowfax, come on, but you know, like, ride Shadowfax. It's kind of noted that, like, you know, the fact that Theoden kind of had to ride Snowmane was like a little bit of a step down, right? Because he really wanted Shadowfax, I think.
Well, so the way I read it is that no one had ridden Shadowfax. Didn't Gandalf have to chase Shadowfax like half over yonder first?
Is that right? If so, that would go with that Valsanga saga thing of Sigurd, who was the first one to ride Garani, that horse who was like Sleipnir's kin, which is kind of cool, actually. That makes sense. I could see that.
When Gandalf got to Rohan, Theoden reluctantly gave him any horse of his choosing. Shadowfax did not initially allow Gandalf to approach him. And Gandalf had to follow him for 2 days before he would allow Gandalf to ride him.
Now I've got that, like, this Pink Panther, like, kind of music in my head. Doo-doo, doo-doo, doo-doo. And, like, Gandalf sitting behind, like, a newspaper or, like, hiding behind a light pole and is, like, trying to follow him like a creeper.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Gandalf was really jockeying for that position.
Oh, my God. How many of these do you have?
I have so many of them. How long do you have?
Good Lord.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm a disappointment. I know.
I don't know that I'm disappointed so much as just shocked. Snowmane. I didn't get the impression from that chapter that Theoden wanted Shadowfax versus Snowmane, I got the impression that Snowmane was like his good boy.
Aww.
I just got the impression he didn't want to give Shadowfax to Gandalf.
I see. Okay, that makes sense. I like that better. Snowmane is such a good boy.
Yeah.
It's not his fault that he fell on him, you know?
Yeah.
Shit happens.
Shit does happen.
Shit happens. Well, there's definitely other horses in Rohan that are not Meraz, but we do know that they still think of the Meraz as their chieftains, right? Kind of. So maybe we could talk about some of those bullies.
Yep. We'll go alphabetical order. This is the first one is a really good horse, a really interesting one, and that's Eddard. This was a light horse of Rohan. I don't know what a light horse is.
I think it means like white, like a color, right?
As opposed to like, I thought it meant like not a fat horse.
It was a
well, I don't know.
A fit horse, so brother.
Not chunky.
Oh, I mean, God.
Well, I mean, this is, I don't know if this is going to get into the episode, but I'll send you a picture of this super, super, super chunk squirrel that has started chowing down on the bird feeder out our window.
Oh, no.
Dude, he's like the size of a possum.
Oh, buddy. Oh, no. He's living his best life.
But he's good. No, I appreciate that he doesn't overdo it on the bird feeder.
Sorry.
He's like, he's no kidding the size of a house cat, but he doesn't like empty the bird feeder. He just shows up and like chomps on it for a minute, but then he lets the birds come back. So we have a truce. But he's the biggest goddamn squirrel I've ever seen. He's fucking enormous.
Oh no.
So big.
He's a brick. Boop, boop, boop. House.
Yeah. I mean, he looks good. I mean, he can still move.
He looks good.
I've just never seen a squirrel that's like that big around. And like
wow, that's like the size, of like a small cat.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, for sure. It's impressive. Anyway.
Yep, that's not a horse, though.
Yeah, not a horse. So Eddard bore a knight of Rohan in Eomer's, Eorath. I can never pronounce that word.
Eored.
Right. Anyway,
first of all, is that like a word for like a company, like Eomer's?
Yeah, I think
soldiers?
So. Okay. Yeah.
Eored, gotcha.
That fought some orcs outside Fangorn.
Mm-hmm.
And his rider was lost in the skirmish, but the horse survived and remained with the rest of the company on their way back. And that was when they met up with Aragorn and Legolas and Gimli.
Yeah, the bros.
Yeah. So Eomer gives the horse to Legolas, and Eorath served his new rider faithfully.
Yeah, I liked that. They were buds for a long time.
Yeah, Eorath carries Legolas and Gimli all the way basically through the whole rest of the War of the Ring.
Mm-hmm.
The Battle of Pelennor Fields.
Through the Paths
of the Dead.
Yeah.
He bore him through Theoden's funeral possession, and pretty much right until, I guess, Legolas went back to the Undying Lands.
Yeah, I think
I imagine.
I seem to remember that Legolas was really sad to say goodbye to him when he had to go, because horses can't go in on the ocean, apparently.
Yeah, but I think that's really cool that he made this horse friend.
Yeah.
And... yeah, I like that.
It's nice. It's really nice. Yeah, and of course you see that in Pete Jackson's movies when Legolas does that awesome like silly flippy thing. Remember when they fight the warg riders, and yeah, he does a cool flip. Anyway, that's that horse, that white horse. That's Eorath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like him.
Maybe you should skip. What's the next one's name? Skip that guy and talk about Hasafel next, maybe, because it kind of goes with Eorath.
Okay. Hasafel was another one of the horses who lost its rider in that same battle. This one was lent to Aragorn, and Aragorn rode him until, I believe until they met the, let me think. Hasafel was a gray horse, apparently.
Yeah. I think Hasafel was with Aragorn in Helm's Deep, right? Because, yeah, they didn't meet up with the great company until well after that. Right? They make that up?
I might have I think up. He probably wrote... I'm trying to think when he would have... I guess until the Paths of the Dead, right?
I think so. Yeah. I wonder
yeah,
if cause,
he... Yeah, because he got his own... He got... what's it called?
The
he got...
Steed of the Late Lady Steed.
Yeah, Roheren after at that point. So I think he must have given left the horse with the Rohirrim after at that point.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Can I interject to something about those horses? They're really cute, Hassofell and Arod.
Yeah.
So I guess there's a part I'm trying to remember back to it now because I wrote this note when I was rereading The Lord of the Rings, so it was a little while ago. But I guess there's like a night where this like you know, the old man, the hooded old man was walking around and he freaked out the horses. This is when they're camping in Rohan. And so Aragorn asks Legolas if the horses were afraid when the old man showed up, and Legolas basically says that their calls reminded him of, and this is a quote, beasts wild with some sudden gladness. They spoke as horses will when they meet a friend that they have long missed. And I thought that was really sweet. And then we find out later on when they meet up with Gandalf that actually that was true. Legolas was right in thinking that actually they were happy horses, not scared horses. And he says, "Now I understand a part of last night's riddle," said Legolas as he sprang lightly upon Arod's back. When they fled at first whether they fled at first in fear or not, our horses met Shadowfax, their chieftain, and greeted him with joy. And I just love that. That means they have friends and they have souls, Jude. See? Horses have souls. Suck it. And I do like, and then another little part just with those two horses in particular, Gandalf has a little chat with the horses. He talks to Arod and Hassofell and Shadowfax, and he says, "Soon the other horses came." Oh no, sorry. The quote goes, "Soon the other horses came up and stood quietly by, as if awaiting orders. We go at once to Medicel, the hall of your master Theoden," said Gandalf, addressing them gravely. They bowed their heads. "Time presses, so with your leave, my friend, we will ride. We beg you to use all the speed that you have, that you can. Hassofell shall bear Aragorn and Arod Legolas, and I will set Gimli before me, and by his leave Shadowfax shall bear us both, and we will wait now only to drink a little." I thought that was cute. I like that Gandalf was talking directly to the horses, and they were like, "Oh, okay, sure." I thought that was really cute. I think yeah. they really took being saddled with that responsibility well.
Oh. Jesus.
Are you guys sick of me yet?
There was a lot to love there. There was your Gandalf impression.
Thanks.
And then yeah, there was a lot going on there.
Yeah, it was lot. It was too much.
Yeah, no, that's all really good. I like that. I do like that Gandalf can speak to the horses and they seem to understand him. And I do like the idea that the horses recognize their chief. I think that's very cool.
Yeah.
I also don't grant that the horses have souls.
Oh my God. I know that they don't, but I want them to, so they do. For
Fair
me.
Who else do we have?
You should
what
talk
horses?
About Firefoot next. I like that guy.
All right, tell me about Firefoot.
Oh, Firefoot is the horse of my boyfriend. My special fella, Éomer, right? Am I saying the right thing? Yeah, so he was the horse that was ridden by Éomer in the Rohirrim. Let's see. Yeah, so they go from Edoras to Helm's Deep, and there was this great part where Gimli was a passenger on Firefoot's back, which I love. So the bros are getting ready to ride off on their trip where they eventually end up going to Helm's Deep. And Gimli is like, "Oh, how am I going to get to the battle? Blah, da, blue, da, blah. I don't want to. I just wish I could walk. I don't want to bump like a sack, you know, on, you know, with, what's his name? Gandalf." He has this whole thing like, a dwarf is no horseman, blah, 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 blah. And Éomer is like, oh, hey, dude, like, you could totally ride with me if you want to. Like, that would be cool. And Gimli's like, I don't know. Gimli at first, you know, isn't that into Éomer, because Éomer kind of said maybe that he didn't think Galadriel was like the hottest chick ever. And Gimli's like, no, she is the hottest chick. You're wrong. And and they sort of had this little kind of thing where Éomer's like, I don't know, man. And Gimli's like, nope, she's totes hot. You're wrong. Anyway, so Gimli's like, all right, I'll ride with you if you'll say, you know, that like, if you meet Galadriel, you'll know that she's the hottest. And Éomer's like, ugh, all right, bro, we got to get going. So let's do this. Gimli's like, all right, cool. As long as Legolas can ride on our left side, Aragorn can ride on our right side. And that's what they do. And I just have to tell you, that is a good visual for me. I'm just gonna keep that.
I immediately picture like the movie style, like cool guys riding off into the sunset.
Oh yes. Do you remember in Beauty and the Beast, there are those three girls that always go like, oh, whenever Gaston walks by? That's me.
Mm-hmm.
That's me sitting on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. What a hot crew. Anyway, so that's all we really hear about Firefoot, but that he's Éomer's pony boy.
Éomer's pony boy.
Maybe I'll take that back. I don't know if that's the right thing to say. But there are a couple other Rohan horse dudes that we should probably mention.
Yeah, we already talked about Stiba briefly, yes. But we'll mention him again. Stiba is the small, shaggy, gray pony that Théoden gives to Merry after he makes Merry a knight of Rohan. In a plot line that is one of my favorite parts of Two Towers.
Aww.
I really like that little thing, that little storyline. Mm-hmm.
Which one? The Merry Théoden friendship?
Yeah.
I know, it's really nice, because I think even as Théoden is laying on the planar fields, like dying, he's like, oh, Merry, I'm really bummed that I won't be able to hear about your herb lore. It's really sweet and sad, and actually made me cry when I read it this last time. It was so wonderful. They have a really nice relationship. It's very sweet.
Yeah, it's very nice. So I really like that that little moment. And as we talked about before, I think it's a good example of that kingly gift thing that we were talking about, where he is showing his favor to Merry by giving him this little horse.
I know, it's really sweet.
And then lastly, we've got Winfola, which is Eowyn's gray horse, when she is disguised as Durnhelm.
Okay, I'm sorry. If you're going to choose a name for yourself, Durnhelm is the most boring name you could ever choose, and I'm just going to put that out there.
Well, isn't that the point, though?
Because she's like trying to blend in. That is the most boring name ever. Like,
Durnhelm the John Smith of Rohan?
Kind of. Oh, you mean like everybody's Durnhelm, like Durnhelm C or Durnhelm B, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Well, anyway, they ride on Windfulla. Yeah.
Merry rides with her because for all Théoden and Merry have a good relationship, Théoden is still a part of the patriarchy. And a little bit of a jerk when it comes to traditional manly war things, and doesn't think that Merry can contribute meaningfully to the war and is just going to get killed, which in fairness, probably accurate if he weren't part of, you know, the hero's quest. So he doesn't want Merry to be a part of the battle and get killed. But Merry ain't having that. So he sneaks in with Eowyn on the back of Winfola.
Yeah.
But during the battle, Winfola ain't having none of that Nazgul bullshit.
Nope.
and freaks out.
Runs away.
Yep. Fun fact, Shadowfax is the only horse that does not lose its shit at the Nazgul.
That's pretty interesting. Well, I mean, I guess what would Shadowfax have to be afraid of? He's like, all right, bring it. You big hooded jerk.
Being eaten. I mean, the Nazgul's like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know what it is. Or the Nazgul's fell beast is like a dinosaur or a giant, like a giant Komodo condor dragon. Komodo dragon thing. I don't know what it is, but it definitely could eat it.
Did you say it was a giant salamander?
No, I said a giant condor / Komodo dragon, but
now I wanted to be a giant salamander. There's been a lot
of interpretations of what the fell beast looks like. I actually really like how it's depicted in the movies, but I think there's some different versions in different pieces of art.
Yeah.
But I think I saw one piece of fan art that where it was straight up a pterodactyl, oh, which I thought was really sweet.
Yeah, I'm all about that. That's awesome.
But yeah, I think it's cool that Shadowfax is like the one horse that just doesn't give a fuck.
Nope, he don't care.
Yep.
Nice.
So let's see.
That kind of wraps up Rohan, but there's definitely some other horses in The Lord of the Rings that are not elf-owned and are not Rohan horses, right?
Yeah, who are we missing?
We're missing some of the most adorbs little cutie boys in the whole story. And we're going to start with Bill the Pony, air horns.
Yeah, arguably one of the biggest names in horses in all of Tolkien's legendarium.
He definitely goes through a glow up. I think he definitely like betters himself. He's a great little boy. So please, I want to hear all about him.
So Bill the Pony is a pony that they bought, that the hobbits bought in Bree for 12 silver pennies.
That is a lot. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Butterbur, I think, buys him for Frodo after his horses got stolen because he felt guilty about how all that went down. From Bill Ferney, who is one of the spies for Saruman.
The guy is a jerk, and he's very cruel to our
Sauron.
Oh yeah,
or Saruman. I don't think it's actually clear who he's spying for, but he's spying.
He spied somebody. He's a jerk.
Yeah.
He was mean to Bill the Pony. He was
half
starved.
Yeah, and as I recall, the Bill basically becomes a big old tubby. Like, isn't that like one thing that they say very specifically about Bill the Pony is that he like fattens up almost immediately?
Yeah.
Once they start getting him on the road, and he gets to when they get him to Rivendell, like he just immediately like gets in with the horses at Rivendell and starts like finding where the chow is.
Yeah, he does, and he makes friends with the little elf horses, and it says that he got happier and healthier. And I just think that's so sweet. I wish I had looked up the quote. I think I remember a quote about how like he learned like the lore of the elf horses or something like that. He gained like knowledge from them. That's so sweet. I love that.
He's the Bilbo of horses.
He kind of ponies. Is. Oh, he sort of is. Oh, dang. That was a hot take.
Yeah. No, so I like Bill the Pony. I think it's... So I like Bill the Pony because Bill the Pony, I think, is a... an example of Sam showing you Sam's character.
Yeah.
Early on.
Oh, yeah. He cared for everybody.
This is Sam showing his deeply caring and empathic character early on. This poor bedraggled horse, and Sam just wants this poor horse to, you know, have a good life and to be okay. And he really nurses this pony back to life and helps it get a better life. And then they get to Moria, and he's just like, nope, peace out, horse. Get out of here. Mines are no place for a pony.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he like sobbed, though. He was so sad about having to turn him out, you know? But luckily, Bill the Pony was very wily, and he made it all the way back to Bree all by himself.
Yep.
And he hung out at the Prancing Pony with Butterbur.
Yeah, and then I imagine that Sam took him home after that.
Yeah, he says specifically that they lived together in Hobbiton, like, for the rest of their days. So sweet.
Oh, bless.
I know, it kills me. It's very cute. Our Hobbit boys do actually find some other horses as well along the way.
Yeah, they run into a bunch of various ponies on the way to Bree.
Yeah, they stop in at Crick Hollow, right? That's where they meet up with Merry at that house that they set up for Frodo is kind of like a sham house.
Mm-hmm. The sham house.
The sham house.
And is that Merry, like a sham wow?
Yeah, it's like, I don't remember what sham wows are for. Is that the thing that you cut things with? I don't know. Anyway, Merry had gathered five little horses for them, little ponies. And they have, they're actually not named for like a long time. I remember this last reading, I was really annoyed. Like, what are they called? Why, you guys know, no one's giving them a name. But that's because we had to wait until we met another character who kind of gleaned their names, right? It was Tom Bombadil. I love Tom. I know you think he's weird. I really like Tom Bombadil. I want to know what his deal is. His Bombadil. Perception... That was good. Oh. That was good.
He doesn't have a Bombadil. That's the problem with Bomb. That's why I don't like Tom Bombadil, is because I have spent too many hours
agonizing over what he is and who he is.
No, not agonizing over what he is, just like being interrogated by people about what he is. I like that he's a mystery, and I don't like that people seem discontent with that. That's my hot take on Tom Bombadil.
I think we should talk about him in a different episode because he's so fascinating. Him and freaking Goldberry are so weird and wonderful.
Yeah. I think I just get a little snarky about there's a lot of people that have bad Bombadil takes in contrast that sort of fly in the face of all the available evidence because they want an answer when the answer is very clearly like Tolkien says, like sometimes there's no answer to things. Like that's kind of what Tom Bombadil is doing. Sometimes there's mysteries.
Yeah.
So,
but anyway, he is very sweet though. And he does kind of like talk to these little ponies directly. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he sings a little song for them, which I'm not going to sing.
Come on,
but you're welcome
sing the
to.
Song. Hey, now, come hoy now, whither do you wander? Up, down, near, far, there or yonder. You do the next part.
No. I'm not the one that was in Main Street. That's all you.
Oh, Lord, don't talk about that. Sharp ears, wise nose, swish, tail, and bumpkin. White socks, my little lad, an old fatty lumpkin. I just made that. I don't know if that's not.
That's excellent. I'm very proud of you. That was fantastic.
Oh, so their names are Bumpkin, Sharp Ears, Swishtail, White Socks, and Wise Nose. He was probably good at finding the food. Well, and of course, Old Fatty Lumpkin, but Old Fatty Lumpkin is actually Tom Bombadil's horse, right?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So tell us about that guy. Because there's really not actually that much information about the five little ponies. But
the five little ponies, yeah, they're literally just five little ponies.
Five little ponies. But they do get scared at one point, and they do go off to find their good friend Fatty Lumpkin, which is really cute. So can you tell us about Fatty Lumpkin?
So Fatty Lumpkin, also sometimes just known as Lumpkin, if we're not in a shaming mood.
I know. Don't body shame him. What the heck? He's just Lumpkin living his life. Leave him alone.
Yeah. He basically just kind of hung out, roamed free, ate the grass on the Barrow Downs, which seems like a sketchy place to get a snack. But
ew.
You know, you do you.
Yeah, I feel like it said Tom didn't really ride him that much. It was kind of like he would sort of ask permission, right, to ride him. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
That's cute.
Yeah, and then the other ponies, they got them all the way to Bree. And then when the Black Rider attacked, the ponies, pretty wisely, all things considered, bolted and went and hung out with Fatty Lumpkin.
Yeah. So that's much better. So I feel like they're well taken care of if they're living with Tom Bombadil. Because he had like, remember he had like a, he had such a bomb ass spread of good food and stuff on his table. Yeah. I'm sure they're super happy.
Didn't they eventually get back to Bree though?
Maybe.
Yeah. After a while, once Tom Bombadil heard of the news of the events in Bree, i.e. the Black Rider attack. He sent the ponies back to Butterbur where they stayed there and worked for Barliman.
Oh, cool. Well, and Butterbur is a cool dude. So yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I like that.
Sort of as compensation for the fact that he spent 12 pennies on on Bill the Pony.
Bill the sad pony. Oh, brother.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So then we have like one more named pony to talk about, right?
Yes, I believe that's the case.
Yep.
Strider.
You could call him Strider.
This was a pony ridden by Frodo Baggins from Minas Tirith back to the Shire and from the Shire to the Grey Havens. I imagine the name is slightly ironic.
Aragorn's like, just kidding. Name a stupid horse after me. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all there is to that to that guy.
Yeah. So those are our named horses. If we forgot anyone, please let us know. I think we got everybody. There are lots of, I think, Jude, you pointed out to me when we were talking about doing this episode, you were so floored that there was actually like a list of named horses, you know, in Tolkien's Legendarium Online.
A lot of people people wanted to have these lists.
I know, it's cute and nice, and I like it. There's also some, but I also thought we should maybe, to kind of round this out, we should talk about horses that are used kind of by the bad guys. And we don't have to go too deep into this, but, you know.
No, I think it's interesting to look at them, though. They're not named, but I think it's interesting to talk about these other horses that are being used by the bad folk.
Yeah. So, of course, the most obvious one in Lord of the Rings are the black horses that are used by the Black Riders, the Nazgul, the Nine. Yeah. That was okay. That was a lot of things. Those guys are called the Black Horsemen, or sometimes they're referred to a ton in the book as just the Horsemen. Like, the Horsemen were looking at me, and the Horsemen were coming down a thing, and the Horsemen can't cross the river. Blah, blah, blue. So they just, I don't know, they're black. They are pretty scary. They weren't scared of the Nazgul, and it said that they were bred to kind of work with them, right? Doesn't Gandalf say that to Frodo?
I believe that's the case. Yes.
Frodo says in the chapter called Many Meetings, he says, but are they real? You know, and Gandalf's like, yeah, dude, they're super real. Of course they're real. And Frodo's like, but why would they want to hang out with those jerk rider guys, and all other animals are super scared of them? What the heck? And Gandalf's like, well, they were born and bred in service of the Dark Lord of Mordor. That does kind of actually go against something we learn later from Éomer. So we should put a pin in that, right?
Well, it could be, so the thing that Éomer says later is, we can just say it, get to that, we can hit that now, which is in chapter 2 of Two Towers, right?
Yeah, I think it's called Riders of Rohan chapter?
Yeah, in chapter 2 of Two Towers, Gimli sort of, doesn't accuse, but he sort of suggests that they pay tribute to Sauron in the form of horses, and Éomer is not having it. He says, "We do not, and we never have. Though it comes to my ears that that lie has been told. Some years ago, the Lord of the Black Land wished to purchase horses from us at great price, and we refused him, for he puts beasts to evil use. Then he sent plundering orcs, and they carry off what they can, choosing always the black horses. Few of these are now left. For that reason, our feud with the orcs is bitter." So, which is super, like, edgelord goth of Sauron to only want the black horses. I think there's nothing to say that he couldn't be using those horses as breeding stock.
That's true, actually, yeah. Yeah, because I bet the horses that they would have stolen, the black horses from Rohan, would still be afraid of the Nazgul, right? So maybe the black horses of the Nine were like special guys that, were bred for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they'd have to be to tolerate the Nazgul.
Yeah, that makes sense. They also talk about, there's a quote where they, in the chapter 11, Knife in the Dark, where Merry is talking to Aragorn and he's saying like, it kind of seemed like the horses were like, he said the black riders were kind of smelling, right? Can they actually see? And Strider's like, he makes kind of reference to the fact that the horses were kind of seeing for them, and that the Nazgul use all kinds of different beasts to spy for them. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. The implication definitely seems to be that the horses are willing servants seems like a bit much, but they've been thoroughly trained and broken to the service that they perform. They're not like, you know, if you cut their reins, they'd immediately bolt and would go off and just do normal horsey things. Like they're pretty completely dedicated to this service at this point.
Yeah. There's another horse that we hear about that's kind of on the baddie side that we hear about in book three that is actually, I know you love this character, right? I remember that you're really into this character.
Oh, is this the...
This is the Mouth of Sauron, right? The lieutenant of the Tower of Barad-dûr. He has a horse. She just made a bunch of creepy mouth faces at me. It was amazing.
Yeah, I like this guy in the movie. He looks super creepy. He comes out on this horse that is... I'm just going to read the quote because the description is really, really good. At its head rode a tall and evil shape mounted upon a black horse, if horse it was, for it was huge and hideous, and its face was a frightful mask, more like a skull than a living head, and in its sockets of its eyes and its nostrils there burned a flame.
Ooh, that's so cool. That's way cool. Scary horse. So scary dude on a scary horse doing scary things.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like a nightmare if you play
D&D.
A little bit of D&D. Yeah, it kind of sounds like he's riding in on a nightmare, which is
Ooh, I'm into that. That's
pretty
cool.
Fucking metal.
Oh, it's so metal. That's awesome.
I wouldn't be surprised if the description of the nightmare came from that line, given the way that D&D evolved out of literally everything and anything in Lord of the Rings.
Cool. Actually, that's awesome. I wonder if that's true. If anybody knows if there's a reference to where the nightmares came from, let us know. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Man, so like this is kind of turning out to be a long episode. So like why, I don't know, what do you think? Horses important to Tolkien's works, not? What do you think?
I think important is not how do I put this? I think that horses are a fundamental part of they're one of the fundamental tropes of the epic. Mm-hmm. And I think that the epic is a fundamental part of Tolkien. They were crucial to his development, to the development of his personal mythology. And many, many, so many of his stories take the form of the epic or draw their inspiration from the epic. So I think that horses are super, super important to Tolkien in terms of the stories that they come from and the way that characters exist in the world use horses and the way that they are part of the stories that his characters tell and are part of the stories that these characters exist in. That said, I don't know necessarily that there's a single horse that I think is fundamentally crucial to any one story he wrote, but I don't think that means any of them aren't important.
Yeah, they're great supporting characters. They are chieftains and they're friends and they're foes. They're all of those things. They're, you know, and just kind of as some of those scholarly articles that I read, you know, we see them, their kind of uses running the gambit from just transportation to war horses to like friends and companions. So it's very, yeah, I don't know. It really does dovetail really nicely with the horses that we see of the great epics and the poems of Old Norse and Old English writers. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think I have a favorite. Do you think you have a favorite Tolkien horse? That's a hard question.
Do I have a favorite Tolkien horse?
I almost don't want to choose, But I really love Bill. I'm going to just step in and say I love Bill the Pony. He's so sweet. I just love that he goes from being like, I don't know, I think he just has a really cool storyline in and of himself, and that he just becomes like such a good boy and does so many good things. I like him.
I like Arod because I think he's got a cool story. He serves one master and then serves another and has this really storied life. I think they all have interesting functions in the story. I don't know if I necessarily have a favorite. I really like Stiba.
Yeah, the little fuzzy boy.
Because I like the story there.
Yeah.
I think I like a lot of the functions that they're performing in the story. Mm-hmm. But I don't think any of them necessarily have a it would have to be probably, if I had to pick one horse that I thought in and of itself, not for what it does in the story, but for who and what it is, I think this is the most interesting, it would have to be Nahar.
Yeah.
Because Nahar is the one that discovered the elves.
Sure. And brought light back to the world when it was only darkness.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a good horse. I think, so yeah, as Jude said at the top of the episode, we were going to try and like rate these from like good boy to goodest boy, but I don't want to rate them. They're all great and interesting and wonderful. And, you know, just like with pets or children, we don't choose favorites. Or if we do, we just don't tell them. But hey, if you, our wonderful listeners, have a favorite horse of Tolkien or even beyond the Legendarium, tell us. Let us know on Twitter. What's your favorite horse and why?
I'm very interested to hear what our listeners' favorite horses of this lot are.
Yeah, totally. So maybe tweet us with the hashtag AthraHorse, because that's funny. Or don't. That's fine, too. But let us know. We are at, what is it? Gosh darn it, I can never remember it.
Athrabeth_cast.
That's the one. Yeah, come talk to us. I want to talk about horses. I'm just crazy about horses. Lordy. And on that note, Jude, thank you so much for doing this with me. This was so fun and I really enjoyed it. And I actually learned a lot, which is annoying because I didn't want to. I never want to, but I did. I do and I did.
Thank you. Thank you for doing the outline. This was a really great episode for me because I didn't have to do the research or build the outline.
Yay!
And I got to learn a lot on this one. So it was a lot of fun for me to do as well.
Cool. Well, I'm happy to do more. And I guess like too, you know, Jude and I kind of have an idea of where we're going with our next two episodes. But if anyone has any suggestions or anything you really want to learn about or know more about, let us know because we're, you know, planning. I would like to keep doing this podcast for a long time. And so there's so many interesting things to talk about. And I guess we found out I can do research now. So that's good. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Absolutely open to suggestions. We do plan a couple of months out in advance as far as where we're going, but we're always interested to hear what people would like to know about.
Yeah. So. Cool. So thank you so much for joining us. That was fun.
Yeah.
Well, the road may go ever on and on, but this horsey episode is over.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes as it helps increase our visibility. You can find us on the web at www.podcast.athrabeth.com. You can find the show on Twitter at @Athrabeth_cast. I can be found at @EremiticJude. Steph can be found at @TheNorthFour. Title music is Lord of the Devil Rings by Pony Music, courtesy of Pond 5.
Pony Music, get it? It's in theme.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.